have Stephen Muending giving our morning message.
I would like to take this short moment and welcome you again to the Word of God. I would like to open the Word of God along with you in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17 to chapter 4, verses 1. And this text will hopefully be an encouragement to you as it has been to me as well in the ministry. And I hope that you'll be built up as I have been encouraged and looking to Christ as he comes again for his church. The Word of God reads, follow along as I read, please, Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 onwards. Brethren, join in the following my example, and not those who so work as you have us for a pattern. For many work of those I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. In chapter 4, verses 1 says, therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand firm or fast in the Lord, beloved. In this text, I am just challenged and blessed, particularly looking at the text in chapter 4, verses 1, where he says, stand fast in the Lord. And I hope that can be an encouragement to you to stand firm in the Lord and fix your attention upon good examples. I think this is the point that Paul is encouraging the church to look at each other and also examine our own hearts and be encouraged to stand firm in the Lord. As we have great examples that God has set in the body of Christ to be able to look to and live our lives as we have them as a pattern or examples in our lives. And so Paul begins and ends with that encouragement of being imitators or followers of those who are great examples. And the issue we need to understand here is Paul is pleading to the church, to the members of his body, the body of Christ, to position themselves firmly together in the body of Christ, to stand firm within the sphere of the body of Christ as a church and fix their attention on the good examples, the people that God has placed in the body of Christ as great men and women of the Lord. And that is my encouragement to you even today. As we are in the ministry, we understand we are not isolated in this world. We are among men and women who are either negative or positive influences of our lives. We live in a political world. We live in a social world. We live in an economical world that affects the systems of a believer. And so we have to encourage each other to stand firm. As we noted, even in our illustrations of our ministry here, the challenges we face, that should not be reasons to hold us back from serving the Almighty God. We have examples that God has set apart for us to see and to look upon them and say, yes, God has worked great things in the lives of others. And so I want to encourage you as well and say, please be encouraged to stand firm. Take a position in your life to follow Christ and to be positioned firmly and grounded in the truth. And you have examples of men and women who have been before you And so we should be able to stay put in our ministry as Paul communicates. He begins himself by leading us to his example. And he says in verses 17, "Brethren, join the following my example." Join in the following of my example. That is the word that brings along the issue of fellow imitators. You as a group of imitators of people, join along as you imitate the way I do, the way I work my life, the way I live my life. In fact, if you were to go back to 1 Corinthians 4:17, you'll be able to see what Paul communicates here. He says this in 1 Corinthians 4:17, when he talks to the church in Corinth. He says, "For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul communicates the essence that his ministry is not only verbal from his mouth, but he says he sets an example, the way of living, even among the people in the church. And so I believe even as he communicates to the church in Philippi, he has the same essence, the same understanding that he communicated to the church in Corinth when he says, "I am sending this young man who is my son, Timothy, to you. He will be able to explain and to remind you on the way I walk my life in Christ, the way I live my life in Christ." And so when he communicates this essence that he mentions in Philippians 3:17, when he says, "Join in following my example," he is one of those that he has set a wonderful, wonderful example on how to live life. And then he mentions also, he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1, which he also encourages the church there, he says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." We don't just imitate someone or follow someone for the sake of it, but because there is the influence of the working of the Spirit of God and the evidence of the working of Christ, the dwelling of Christ in that life, that now we see the importance of following someone who sets an example. And so Paul is saying, as I imitate Christ, as I follow Christ, I want you to follow me in that example of following Christ in our lives. And so he mentions in that Philippians 3:17, and he mentioned, he says, not only him, but he says something here. He says, "And not those who so work as you have asked for a pattern." In other words, we have set an example not only for you, but also for those who work according to that work, who follow that example that we have set before you and before the church. We've been able to see that in the church of Corinth. And so Paul is saying, we are here as an example to others. Our lives are to be imitated, to set a stand that is firmly grounded in the Lord, so that others would pay attention to that good example in life. Now, the issue here is, why follow Paul? Why imitate Paul as he follows Christ, and why not others? And so he has two examples that he has set, which is the first one is the good example that he has set. Why Paul and his fellow workers in ministry? In verses 20, he's going to be telling us the details of following him. But before then, he sets an example of one that we should not follow. He says in verses 18 and 19, he gives us the essence of why not follow the enemies of the cross, the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He says, "For many work of those I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. The issue here Paul communicates is the fact that there are bad examples that we should not follow in our lives. When we are grounded and firmly standing in the Lord, if we are in the body of Christ setting a great example, we will not follow such people. People who are the enemies of the cross. We know the purpose of Christ coming. He came and went to the cross. And when he's setting that example, on the cross, Jesus took our sins. He took our place at Calvary. He humbled himself to death because of our sins. And so, because we have identified ourselves with Christ, we identify ourselves with the cross of Christ. And so, he says, there are those who hate the cross, who hate the purpose of Christ coming and dying on the cross because of our sins. And so he says, be watchful on these people. And so he mentions and he says, look, there are those, and there are many, by the way, who follow this way, who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's why he says, of whom I have told you often. Many times, Paul had warned the church and fellow believers against those who are enemies of the cross. And so we should. You and I should have the responsibility and opportunity to communicate the truth of Christ and his death at the cross of Calvary. And so we should not shy off from that truth. And Paul says, I have communicated this to you so often, many times. And not only that, but he mentions also, he says, as well, I now tell you, even weeping, meaning even to the point of crying, to the point of shedding tears, so that you may turn away from evil work, from evil lives that do not demonstrate the love of Christ. And so he communicates that fact by saying that I tell you this, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Beloved, we live in a world where people hate the cross of Christ. People cannot carry the cross, as Christ said, do you love me? And if you do love me, carry the cross. Have the readiness to follow Christ by being ready to die for yourself, to die for the cause that you're taking. And that is why the cost of following Christ requires the cost of counting the cost. And so here, the Word of God lets us or communicates to us the importance of being friends of the cross rather than enemies of the cross. And so I'll tell you, Paul is saying, do not follow the enemies of the cross. Do not follow them. Why? Because they are enemies of the cross, and the end of those who are enemies of the cross in verses 19, whose end is destruction, is the judgment of Christ, is the judgment at the end of destruction of their lives. That would be a total separation, total ruin of their lives, and separated from God for eternity. And here the Word of God reminds us that those who are the enemies of the cross, he says, whose God is their belly. The goal of their work and their functions on earth is because of their stomachs. They want to put things into their stomachs. They want to enjoy their lives on earth. They say this is where we have to spend for ourselves. And so the focus is self on earth. But also, he adds something. Not only is it that the focus is their bellies, but also he says, whose glory is their shame. Even in their lives, they don't feel ashamed. They feel glorious in their lives. Rather than looking at themselves and seeing the wickedness and seeing the danger of life without Christ and an opposition against the truth of Christ, they are not following that. They glory in it. They enjoy that. And here, the Word of God tells us, as Paul communicates, who set their mind on earthly things. What is the philosophy of their lives? The enemies of the cross, dear one, is the issues of the earth. And I hope as you look at me and listen to me this morning, I hope your life is not focused on earthly things. Because earthly things will end here on the earth. You yourself, you are temporary on this world. And so, the things of the world can demonstrate how close you walk with the Lord. Are you a friend of the cross of Christ? Or are you an enemy of the cross of Christ? If you are an enemy of the cross of Christ, then you love the things of this world. If you are a friend of the cross of Christ, then you are prepared to face the world with the truth, to set an example for the life to come. And that's what Paul communicates here. He says, why not follow the enemies of the cross? Because the enemies of the cross of Christ lead to destruction. The enemies of the cross of Christ, the focus is the earthly things. Remember, the word of God reminds us in Matthew 6:33 that we look forward and invest in the things, the heavenly things, and not on the things of the earth. That we have to look up to God and invest and put our treasures in heaven and not on the earth. And so we need to be encouraged to walk the life that sets an example. And this is where he comes back now on why we follow him and those who follow the cross of Christ or who are friends of the cross of Christ. He says in verses 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. What a joyful moment there. That, you know what? We are not focusing on the earthly things. We focus on the heavenly things. Our home is in heaven. And so when we do that, we are looking at our citizenship. Yes, we are sojourners of this world. Let me tell you, dear one, many people at such a time have been frustrated with political lives of our countries, whether it be in America, whether it be in Kenya, whether it be in Asia, whether it be in South America, name it. Many, many people are frustrated with leaderships of this world. But let me remind you again, you know why we are frustrated so much? It's because our focus is much on the earthly things rather than the heavenly things. But if we understood that this world is not our home is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, then we understand why those who are focusing on the things of the world are doing. And we should be charged to move further, to be stronger, and to be encouraged to move on with proclamation of the truth of Christ, which Paul says we set an example on earth. So that our business is to demonstrate the goodness of the cross, the value of the cross of Christ. What does the cross of Christ bring to our lives? Salvation, redemption, hope, delighting with Christ forever in his presence. What a joy that is. And so here, the word of God says, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence comes who? We eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where he's coming to take us home. He's coming to take us to where we belong. Here we are just sojourners, striving and struggling through thorns and valleys and hills and challenges of life to remind us that this is not our home. And so we should be reminded. As one author said, the Christian citizenship is not connected to a fictitious tribe, people who love this world, a group of people who desire to live on this earth, whichever the benefits they look at, as if they own it and it belongs to them, but has real roots in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. We have a real roots in heaven, and the Lord will soon come for his citizens. I long for that day when Christ comes for me and we are able to be taken into the presence of God to live forever with him. But look at that, dear ones. We have these two important examples. We have the enemies of the cross. We have the friends of the cross, the members of the body of Christ who carry the cross daily, as Paul mentioned, that daily I carry my cross because of my life and my relationship, my union with Christ. And so I am ready to die just like a lamb that is ready to be sacrificed for the sins of the sinner. And so is our lives to be ready to walk the path and set an example. I want to encourage you, beloved, as you listen to this message, even this morning, that we have to stand firm in the Lord. We have to stand firm in the Lord and fix our attention upon good examples, good patterns of life that God has set before us. Remember what Paul says even to Timothy himself in Titus chapter 2. Paul tells Titus as he communicates to the young people, and he says this as you read along with me what God says to the church as Titus communicates. In chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he says, "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reference incorruptible," verses 8, "sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." We are to set examples of our lives and move on in our trust of our Savior. And believe me, God is going to be walking in our lives and building us up for the glory of God. Beloved, I want to remind you again, stand firm in the Lord and fix your attention upon good examples. Paul and his crew, his members, his other believers, he says, "Follow me," as well as you fix your attention on those who walk according to our example. We must do that. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven, not on the earth. We should not follow those who are enemies of the cross, because the enemies of the cross, they are worldly. And so I want to ask you, are you heavenly or are you worldly? The word of God reminds us, worldly or earthly, their things will be focused on the things of the world. They will think about themselves and the things that they enjoy in this life, but not in the life to come. But heavenly, they look up to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his return. Because when he returns, when Jesus Christ comes back, there are things that will happen to us. Remember, very important things that God tells us. Look at verse 21. "He will transform our lowly body that we may be conformed to his glorious body." We shall be transformed and conformed to the body of Christ. I long to that. This body is wretched. This body is weak. This body is groaning, is aging, and is turning upside down. We get sick with all these kind of diseases we struggle with in our lives today. But Christ will come and turn that the other way around. We shall be healthy. He says we shall be conformed to his glorious body. We shall be conformed to the body of Christ. We shall have a heavenly acceptable body that will be in the will of God to be able to inherit the body of Christ, or to inherit the presence of God in heaven, rather. What a wonderful thing to be in the presence of God when we are conforming to the body of Christ. And then he says, "according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Beloved, we believe in a powerful God, in a great God, in a one, the one who can subdue everything to be under him. And so we believe and look forward for the coming of Christ, who will transform our lives, but also will transform our bodies. He has transformed our lives. He will transform our bodies to conform to his image. Not only are we transforming our minds, but we are transforming our physical being in order to be in the presence of God when he comes. And so that is the joy and the point of looking forward for his coming. What a wonderful moment to encourage you this morning to love him and look forward for his coming, because he's a wonderful God and Savior. God bless you so much. We look forward to having you again one time in Kenya. And so we pray that God will give you an opportunity to be here, to enjoy not only our home, but also to enjoy our country, but most importantly, to enjoy the ministry as we serve alongside each other in serving the Almighty God.
Well, in light of the events of last week, that is a very, very timely message that we need to hold on to. Remember that we are citizens of heaven, and keep our hands on the plow. Please stand with me.